questions from...
Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Oh, I've been looking forward so much to this hour. I always look forward to Daniel Golden joining us because he's wonderful. He's got a great, great knowledge of books. He keeps books alive. He runs this wonderful independent bookstore in Milwaukee, and he's got people coming and giving lectures, and they're all over the city, and he does a lot, and he brings in at least 50 books every time he comes to the station. So he carries boxes as well. Daniel is the owner of Boswell Books, independent bookstore in Milwaukee, and he's here for fall recommendations. But a while ago, he said, hey, would you mind if I brought Ann Patchett to come into the studio, too, because she's going to be here for an event? And we said, well, of course, Ann Patchett is more than welcome. We've had her on the air, I think the last time was in 2013, for her book, A Long and Happy Marriage. She has Commonwealth out now, which has been, I know what it's about. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. She's also the owner of an independent bookstore. So we'll talk about her latest book, her recommendations, and running an independent bookstore. So get your pens and papers out because you're going to write this down. We'll have it on our website by tomorrow, but in case you want to write them down now, please feel free to do so. Our phone number for this hour's conversation with Daniel and Ann is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and our Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Ann Patchett, this is a great event tonight. It's unfortunately sold out, but that's okay. You can hear all about it from somebody who's been there. Ann and Jane Hamilton are going to be in conversation tonight. She has a new book as well. Well, ain't we got fun? I've been looking forward to this so much, and I only can read nonfiction because of the nature of what I've done, but I was happy to see that Hillbilly Elegy, which I read recently, and Evicted, which is a fabulous, important book. We had both those authors on the air, and Candace Millard I've read, so that's my addition to this, but the rest of these are novels, and they all sound wonderful, and thank you both so much for being with us. Hi, Ann.
Pleasure. Hey. Hi.
Hi. Here you are in person.
Yeah, here I am.
I know. It's great. And you're doing an event tonight. What a literary event this is with Jane Hamilton.
Isn't that great?
It
I'm
is
really
great.
Looking forward to it. Jane's a good friend of mine, and this is how I see my friends on book tour. I corral them into coming and doing events with me.
Wonderful. It's going to be a great night. Daniel, always a pleasure, sir. Your effervescent self.
Oh, my goodness.
But well, you are.
Well, thank you for having us on, and I appreciate you indulging me. This is, I have to say, one of the reasons, you know, we've had these conversations on the air, one of the things about talking to Anne is that, and I really want to call you Miss Patchett, and I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. That's what my husband calls me. You can call me Miss Patchett.
Is that every time we meet, we start talking about books. And I just... I have to say there's a number of books on Anne's list that I read because she said, you should read this.
Right.
And just one incredible thing, the last time when she was in Milwaukee for her last novel, she said to our attendees that they should read Jeanette Haynes, the all of it, and we sold over 100 copies after she recommended it.
Yeah,
she is the pet. And when she said, "I'm going to be opening a bookstore," I thought there is going to be a lot of amazing hand selling going on there.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Every tour now, I take a book with me. And so it was the all of it, and then for the last tour, it was Jeffrey Wolfe's A Day at the Beach. And this tour, it is Dogs as I See Them.
Oh, I've been wanting to see it. Oh, look at the cover. I'm going to kiss him.
I love dogs.
Oh, if only
it was television and not radio so everyone could see these dogs.
Oh, beautiful. And I don't know. I didn't know about Lucy. And you did the foreword to this.
I did. That book has been out of print since about 1950.
I'm sorry. It's radio. They're so
Lucy
beautiful.
Dawson was a famous dog portrait artist in London in the 30s and 40s, and you could bring your dog to her house, and she did these amazing little charcoal and crayon drawings, and then wrote little descriptions of their personalities. Binky needed 4 biscuits in order to hold still long enough for the portrait. but it's a fantastic book. It's gorgeous. The most... somehow accurate soulful pictures of dogs I've ever seen. And the reason why you can never find this book in a first edition is people bought them up and then cut them up and framed the pictures of the dogs and hung them on their walls. So it's great that it's back in print. I wrote a foreword about my dog, Sparky, who works at my bookstore, and Sparky's best friend, Scooter, who lives in Traverse City, Michigan, and is owned by a magician who works on cruise ships. So when Ben the magician is off on a cruise ship, they send Scooter down to Nashville for 2 months at a time to live with us. And Sparky and Scooter are very close. So anyway, that's all in the book, too. But it makes a terrific gift.
Yes, it is absolutely beautiful. Dogs as I See Them by Lucy Dawson. You don't have a dog, do you, Danny?
No, but we do allow the dogs in the stores when we have dog events.
I know you do. And but you need a dog. I'll go dog shopping with you sometime.
We'll talk about allergies and me not taking care of animals that well and that kind of thing. There's a sequel coming, too, isn't there?
That's right, called Dogs Rough and Smooth. And Susan Orlean wrote the introduction for that, which is brilliant. And it will be out really, really soon. And I always like to say, instead of taking a bottle of wine when you go to a dinner party, take a beautiful hardback book, Dogs as I See Them. Really such a great gift book.
Yes,
and
it is.
And every single night we have sold out of this book while I've been on tour.
Have you? It's beautiful. Thank you for bringing it in.
I took that as a dare.
Yeah.
And so I bought a lot.
Watch me work, man. Yes. I'm going to do it. It's a throwdown.
There's the book. You know? And I'm a dog lover, too. I do a dog show every chance I can. Dog therapy shows. Anything to get a dog in the studio.
Oh, good.
So,
yeah. Well, Sparky and I'll have to come back.
Oh, please. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'd be great to have Sparky. All right, Daniel, review Commonwealth. And Patch's latest book.
Can I just get up and go for a minute?
I'm not going to embarrass anybody. It is a wonderful book. Anyone who loves Ann Patchett's writing will love the book. It is a much more, I mean, it is not her life. It is not memoir. It is not taken, but elements of her life are taken from the book. And as many authors do, that's a jumping off point.
No, wait, that's the other way around. Elements of the book are taken from my life. It's not that elements of my life are taken from the book.
That's next year.
Although it feels that way sometimes.
We did have a discussion once where it turned out that reality had trumped fiction. It is the story of a blended family, and it is also the stories that families tell each other, and it's also a book about how stories get appropriated into fiction. The characters are beautifully drawn. You can't help but fall in love with them.
And I heard an interview you did on NPR that it covers a long time span, longer than most of your novels do.
Right, a little over 50 years.
It's a long time.
And there are also 11 main characters, so it's a bit of a sprawl, but it's only 320 pages. That's the good news. Mm-hmm. It's true. I had felt like my novels were getting more and more time constricted. Most of them take place over 3 or 4 months. Run takes place in 24 hours. And I really wanted to see if I could cover a longer stretch of time. So that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. And you will be in conversation with Jane Hamilton tonight, and her new book is on the list as well.
The Excellent Lombards by Jane Hamilton. I am a big fan of Jane Hamilton, both the writer and the person. And I have to say, this is my very favorite Jane Hamilton novel.
Really?
It is. And because I know Jane, it's the book that she's been talking about writing for as long as we've been friends. And like Commonwealth, you could say that parts of it are drawn from my life. Parts of this book are drawn from Jane's life because it's set on a family apple orchard. And Jane, of course, lives on a family apple orchard. So it's very funny. It's very poignant and smart. A lot about the family farm and food in America. It can just be read and discussed in so many different ways. Mm. Great, great book for book clubs.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting that you are really good friends with somebody who's a writer and you're a writer? That is there another sense of when the two of you get together and talk, are you talking about your childhoods or are you talking about the books that you've read?
We're talking a lot more about the books that we've read than our childhoods. And we're talking about, you know, wow, stir fry recipes that we both want to try or movies that we both want to see or trips that we want to take. You know, it's just
your friends.
I think that when you have a profession, you tend to be friends with the people in your profession. So I have a lot of writer friends like Jane, and I have a lot of bookseller friends like Daniel.
And you have a lot of dog friends.
I have a lot of dog friends. My friends from the dog park. The people who you know the names of their dogs and you have no idea what their names are. And you've been talking to them for years. It's way too late to ask. What is your name?
No. It's okay. It's not too late to ask. And when you talk about food, there's one. I'm not a big fan of sushi, but I know a whole lot of people who are. And one of your book recommendations is Japanese cooking.
It is Super Sushi Ramen Express. It's actually Japanese eating more than cooking. Oh. So, but it would definitely be a book that would appeal to foodies. Michael Booth has written a number of books. I think his last book was about traveling through Scandinavia. And this book, he takes his wife and two kids on a journey through Japan. And I've read books sort of similar to this before. But I have to say he took me to places that I didn't know. For one thing, Japanese food is very regional. And there is the Eastern kind of culture and the Western culture. And everything that we know about Japanese food, from sushi to udon versus soba to tempura batter, is different depending on whether you go east or west. But some of the things, it's definitely more of a food lit book than a travel lit book. I was expecting more of an over the top, ha ha ha, Bill Bryson. But he definitely, he takes you into these very specific restaurants. Japanese culture loves to specialize. So if you, for example, cook tempura, that's probably all you do. If you make the little snacks on a stick, that's what your restaurant does. There's a wonderful restaurant in that a lot of these places are secretive. Like, it's hard to figure out. He needs to know somebody to get in. And there's a restaurant where you sit by a river and they pour noodles upstream and you scoop up the noodles as it goes by.
Wow.
There's a wonderful chapter on sake. There's a wonderful chapter on Kobe and the vegetarian movement in Japan and how that was sort of upended when an emperor liked meat. You learn you learn so much, and also just taking to a world that you haven't seen before.
And traveling with two kids under six.
You know, he doesn't. These kids are pretty well behaved. I thought they would be awful. And he doesn't have to distract them. Though they do go to that amusement park. I think you probably read it. I think there was an article in the New Yorker about it. You go to the amusement park and the kids pretend to be graphic designers and firemen and stuff. And they earn money for their work that they could spend on treats. They do have some distractions like that.
So is this a Calvin Trillin-esque book? It sounds Calvin Trillin.
Yeah. Oh, I love Calvin Trillin.
I do too.
Don't you?
I love him. And when you're talking about this, I'm thinking, huh, that really sounds great, but that's why. Would you ever want to do anything like that? Would you ever go to Japan and just eat around?
I have done so few trips outside the United States in my life. I went to, of course, since I have done, and Canada, I've done to Canada a lot. So I've been to Paris in 1990, and where I stayed with a friend, and I went to Beijing and Shanghai in 2003 when my sister, much of my family has a Chinese background. My sister is a professor, Chinese professor. My brother-in-law is a lawyer in China. My niece is Chinese and is my great nephew. And so we were able to go. They are fluent speakers. And so we were able to go to restaurants where they didn't speak English. So that was kind of fun.
Wow.
But we also went during SARS, so we had to be looking.
Oh, my God. Are you an adventuresome eater?
I have my tics. You know, I'm afraid of anything that looks too much like mayonnaise.
You reeled off those Japanese, though, dishes.
Beautifully.
Like, you knew what you were talking about, Daniel.
But if the sushi has that mayonnaise, because they do love mayonnaise. They love mayonnaise in Japan.
Oh.
They drizzle it on everything. And so I do have to be a little careful about that.
Yeah. And speaking of Calvin Trillin, Scotty just brought this in. I think we booked him. Jackson, 1964.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Is that brand new?
From 50 years of reporting on race in America.
Wow.
That looks good, doesn't it?
It does. So Jackson, Mississippi, I guess.
Yeah.
Jackson, 1964.
You should bring him to the store, Daniel.
Yeah.
That would be fun, wouldn't it?
I'm calling him right now.
We'll call him. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, come on, Kelvin. Come on to Milwaukee.
I am nuts about him. Ruth Reichel is a friend of mine, and she told me that Calvin Trillin always comes to her house for Thanksgiving.
Oh.
I was like, I want to go to your house for Thanksgiving.
I bet the food is good, too.
I bet the food is good.
Real good. I'm so glad that you put, because I think this is such an important book, and it's right in my neighborhood, in an area that I've lived in, actually, and never really knew, evicted Matthew Desmond's book, which received a whole lot of attention, and I hope a lot of people have read that book. It's what he did is he really entered people's lives, and they entered his life, and it was a real, almost a friendship in some ways. But what reporting! It was great.
It's an astonishing book. I met him on Saturday. He was in Nashville for the Southern Festival of Books, and I got to introduce his event. What a nice man! And met his lovely wife Tessa and their two great kids, and that was great. I do love a big social justice book, and this is one of the books that I've been talking about a lot while I've been on book tour. And when I ask the audience, "Have you read Evicted?" and two people will raise their hands, and then I'll say, "Did you read The Beautiful Behind the Beautiful Forevers by Catherine Boo?" and everybody will raise their hand, and I'll say that's because it's a lot more fun to read about poverty in Mumbai than it is to read about poverty in Milwaukee. And that's kind of my tagline for this book, and that we really need to have this level of awareness about our own country. This is not bitter medicine. This book is not a chore and something that will be good for you. This is an incredibly engaging, beautifully written story in which you completely fall into the lives of the characters, and you root for them, and you follow them with great, great interest. So it is not just, okay, I need to know about poverty in America. It is really a riveting, fabulous read, and it will make you a better, more aware citizen.
Has it made a difference to this city? It's about Milwaukee, Daniel. Has it anything?
Well, interestingly enough, he doesn't talk about it in the book, but he actually was influential in changing the law where spousal abuse went towards your 911 calls.
Yes.
Like 911 calls can get you evicted if you call 911 too much. And he reports on it as journalistically in the book, but actually he was working behind the scenes with a lawyer. So that's made a difference. I mean, it's just a perspective changing book, as you know, because I think the problem is that so many people view social issues through the lens of the other, and they, you know, whatever the issue it is, unless it really comes home to them, if it's in their family or if it's their spouse or if it's their cousin or if it's their, you know, if it's a neighbor they've gotten really close to or their oldest friend, they're much more forgiving of problems that people are having, where it was when we don't know somebody, we say it's their fault. And what I love about this book is he brings you so close to these people that by the time they are living their lives and making mistakes like everybody else does, you're like, well, that's my friend. I totally understand. I know all the reasons.
Absolutely.
And another reason it's very satisfying to buy a copy of this book is that he set up a foundation for the people who are in the book. So a portion of the proceeds are really going to help the people that we become very involved with in the story. So, you know, you've all sorts of reasons to buy this book and read it.
Yeah, I'm with you, Anne. I'm with you. I don't mean to keep our audience away from this, from these wonderful people.
So ask a question.
We haven't gone through all their books either, and there are many that I want to go through. But if you want recommendations, or if you want to talk to Ann Patchett or Daniel Golden, they're both with us in our Milwaukee studio. They are both independent bookstore owners. Daniel, owner of Boswell, and what's the name of your bookstore?
Parnassus Books in Nashville.
Parnassus Book in Nashville.
So do you know?
And I know people have been there.
Do you know Do you know why it has the Greek name? So there's a couple of different reasons.
No, I don't.
So I love them.
The Athens of the South, of course, we have a full-scale replica of the Parthenon in the middle of Nashville. But my partner Karen Hayes and I, when we met, We were introduced as the two people who wanted to open a bookstore, and she said, I want to call the book Parnassus after the Christopher Morley novella Parnassus on Wheels.
Oh.
Because Karen's goal all along has been that she wanted a bookmobile. So we know, like opening the bookstore was just the gateway drug for her to get the bus. And we have the bus now. We have Parnassus on Wheels, and it is really extravagant, tricked out with shelves and little seats, and it goes all over town, and it parks with the food trucks, and it goes to farmers markets and
Perfect.
Fairs and the tomato festival and schools. So that's why it's Parnassus. I would like to say my vote was to name the bookstore Independent People after my favorite book, which is Independent People, the Haldor Laxness novel, Iceland, 1954.
Ooh, thank you. Oh, all right. I think I got to retire and read books.
I always like to give Laxness a plug.
Yeah. Good. Our number is 800 if you want to join the conversation or just listen. But I know there are fans of Ann Patchett, and Daniel's got fans, too, who want to talk to you. So here's our phone number again, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. You can send an email. And that's talk at WPR.org, or you can go on Facebook, where we will have a list of all their recommendations, if not later today, then early tomorrow, and that's the Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, email talk at WPR.org, and Facebook is the Kathleen Dunn Show. And let's go to Margaret in Madison first. Hi, Margaret.
Hi. See, I am wondering if either of you has had a chance to read Amy Schumer's book. The reason I raised that topic is I originally thought, oh, that's just going to be sort of a recap of some of her comic material. But actually, when I got into it, I was pretty impressed because she talks a lot about some pretty serious topics, including her own sexual assault. She talks about her father's chronic illness, divorce in the family, finding out that her mother was cheating with her best friend's father. And she goes into a lot of pretty serious topics. And I must admit, I was very impressed. I thought it was pretty good for a first effort.
I haven't read it. Am I the only person in America?
No, I haven't read it. Daniel, have you read it?
No, but what we do in bookstores is we fall back on everyone we work with these sort of things.
Divide and conquer.
Divide and conquer, right.
Sure.
And so we had a bookseller who read it in the store and liked it a lot. And you're right, it is meatier than the normal comic essay memoir. But I think that's the trend, is that people are looking for something, you know, whoever it is to have something. I think Tina Fey sort of moved the bar on that, or raised the bar.
Yeah.
And now you really kind of have to have something solid behind it.
And I think Amy Schumer probably reaches an audience of lots of non-readers. So I think it was very important for her to put such serious topics in her book, hoping that it might cause some, you know, young women especially to pick it up and read it.
Margaret, I think you've got a lot of people who are going to go get the book.
Yeah.
You sold me, Margaret.
Yeah.
Well, I'd also like to say that is such an important point, the book that is picked up by the non-readers. It's just a whole different subset, and you know that a lot of times the readers don't read that book. Another great example, Glennon Doyle Melton's Love Warrior, which was the number one book, and I couldn't find a bookseller who'd even heard of it.
Huh.
But she has a cult following off of her blog, which is called The Momastery. We did an event with her in Nashville. We had 1,200 people,
oh,
and
my
it was
gosh,
like a
yeah.
Beatles concert. I mean, these people were just... They were frantic to see her, and they're not the people who are normally coming into the bookstore and buy another book. So it's really exciting.
Ooh.
We didn't do the event, but she actually did one in Milwaukee like 2 weeks before the book came out. And by the time I just, you know, I don't know how I was popping around because the book had a lot of buzz beforehand. And so I was popping around. I'm like, oh, there's this event in Tulsa. Oh, sold out already. So because sometimes we like to tell people, even if we're not the bookseller in a book, if we think it's important and we want
right,
to feel like our newsletter
right.
should tell people about stuff.
And just the fact that she had an event, giant event, 2 weeks before the book came out. That's like all you need to know about Glennon.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you'll have to give me her name. I don't even know who she
is. Exactly. Glennon Doyle Melton.
Glennon Doyle Melton.
Right, Love Warrior. She's huge.
It's so interesting.
It's the Oprah book for September.
Yeah, is it? Yeah, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh.
It is interesting how we discover all these subcultures that we don't know about as we're doing these programming, because we do program to our customers. So we'll have certain events where we know it's going to be, we're going to know a lot of people in that audience.
Sure.
And then there are, you know, then we'll have events where I don't know anybody.
Exactly. And one of the best things about owning a bookstore is that I'm constantly reading outside of my comfort zone. And a book that I think plugs perfectly into that is Beverly Lowry's book that came out on Tuesday called Who Killed These Girls, which is a nonfiction true crime book about the 1991 yogurt shop murders in Austin, Texas. And it's really ultimately about false confession. It is so well written. It is so intelligent and beautifully done. Nothing sensational, nothing salacious, just tough, complicated material, straightforward, beautifully told. Believe me, I was never reading true crime before I opened a bookstore.
Thanks very much, Margaret, for your call. Our number is 800-486-8655. Ann Patch at Daniel Golden with book recommendations this hour. Daniel, another Brooklyn, Jacqueline Woodson novel, first adult novel in 20 years.
Yes, and it has this really great recommendation from this writer who said that Another Brooklyn is a fever dream containing both the hard truths of life and the gentle beauty of memory. That was Ann Patchett, by the way.
Ann, you're everywhere.
Everywhere.
It is just a wonderful novel. As you know, you may know, if you're not, I'm telling you something new. Jacqueline Woodson won the National Book Award for Young People's Literature, and she also is the Poet Laureate for Young People from the Poetry Foundation. Brown Girl Dreaming was the book that won the National Book Award. It's been shortlisted or won any number of other awards. And in fact, Another Brooklyn is now shortlisted for the National Book Award for Old People. and in a way, it's interesting to me because when I read the book, I thought, what makes this different from a young adult novel? And, you know, when we've hosted a lot of YA authors, and they have all kinds of rules about what makes it true. But the truth is, this is a book of a woman in her 30s, I believe, who runs into a friend from her teenage years, and that unlocks the memory. So being that it starts out with an older person, I think that's the only other reason. I mean, I feel like I could definitely recommend this to a teenager.
Right.
It's a prose book, but it's very poetic.
Yeah.
You know, the language is just beautiful, and it is about, mostly about, it's four girls who are friends, who each struggle in their own way to grow up, to leave a, you know, to hit a neighborhood that they love very much, actually, but they understand that there are going to be a lot of problems there. She herself faces a lot of problems, and of course, many. Her father, I think her mother died. I read this a while ago, and her father is a security guard. He actually converts to Muslim, and as does her brother, but she does not, and there faces some struggles there. Sadly. Of course, what I obsess on is my old department store obsession, which I was telling you about with Nashville, because the father works at Abraham and Strauss, which was the best department store in Brooklyn. So, you know, it's like, oh, my God, she mentioned the real department store. But it's just a beautiful book. And, you know, she's coming on Friday to the Centennial Hall at the Milwaukee Public Library.
Oh,
it's a free event. They have a huge it's a very large venue. We're working with the YWCA, Paula Bennett. Pennebaker, who is the executive director, is introducing her. I'm very excited. It's an honor. As I always say, it pales in comparison with your
own. Uh-huh. But let me tell you, we had her in my store just before I left on tour. And then I did an event with her at the Free Library in Philadelphia.
Oh, my gosh.
And she is an old, dear friend of mine and just magnificent on stage. Incredible to get to go and see her. So everybody should come to that event. She has published over 30 books, from picture books, middle school, young adult, adult. She's just such a firebrand, such a talent.
And I love the fact that both of you, I don't know how you do this, because I don't know how there is enough time to bring all of these people to town and to be able to present authors to audiences of people who read. I just can't thank you enough for doing that. And I know you do that in Nashville. I really know what Daniel does in Milwaukee.
Gosh.
It's just astounding to me.
I got to speak to Anne's event person, Nikki?
Nikki, yeah.
Oh, my God. She is an amazing person.
She is. And you know, Nikki's been in our family since she was 18. Nikki babysat my sister's kids when she was in college, and I raised that child upright so that one day she could be our events manager.
Good for you.
You did a good job.
Thank you. Thank you.
I will say that I do have a bookseller who is now 16 that came to me when she was 9 and said, I want to work in the bookstore.
Oh, yeah. We've got some of those.
You know, and sometimes they shouldn't. But
right. Sometimes they should.
But she should, and she's just amazing. She's
That's
so great.
Incredible.
Olivia.
Yeah.
Olivia the Younger. We have two Olivias.
Let's talk about, because he sure became a phenomenon overnight, and now I see him, because I'm a bit of a political junkie, and I'm watching way too much cable news these days.
Don't do it.
I know. I can't help myself, Anne. I can't help myself. It's in me. I watch it, and I analyze
you
it.
You need to know. You need to know for this, too, for your job.
For my job, because we talk about it all
it's
the time.
Homework.
But this year, it's very hard to keep going with all this. At any rate, the guy who's become an analyst on a lot of cable shows is J.D. Vance.
Oh, really?
Who's talking politics now on cable television. And Hillbilly Elegy, I really loved the writing in that book. And I got to tell you, it was eye-opening. I've spent time in Appalachia, and you're closer to Appalachia. But the stories that he tells and the networks and the family, what's going on in the family and who's supporting who and the guns and the defending your property and the poverty and the opiate addiction. Oh, my gosh. It was just very, very enlightening for me. And he's a conservative guy. He's not a Trump supporter. He's a conservative guy. But now he's become an election analyst on top of all that. And he's quite young.
He really he just really tells a story that lets you in.
Yes.
And, you know, you really feel his story, but you also learn to understand the people that he's talking about as well. And I thought it was really an eye-opening book. I mean, there's been
too.
An interesting, you know, White Trash has been doing very well, the Eisenberg book. One of my booksellers is from West Virginia, so he made an Appalachia table for us of what to read after reading, especially with this book, Hillbilly Elegy, doing so well. He does, you know, he has an MFA, so he does tend towards the more fictional versions of it. But he's very, Chris is very adamant about, you know, about identity and things. And
so to both of you, tell me, because you're in this business, I just don't understand how all of a sudden this pretty young guy who wrote this book is everywhere. All of a sudden, this book is highly acclaimed. It's on bestseller list, and he's on television telling us about politics. Where does that? Who makes that happen?
There is a marketing department involved.
And I would imagine for every time it happens, there are about 3,000 times it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Now, when people have published books and hoping to jump onto the lecture circuit and get on television.
Right.
And, you know, in Nashville, we have John Meacham now.
Yes.
He's the presidential biographer. And he is also at this television celebrity and a commentator on the world
he's
right now.
He's very good.
He is very good. He's a very smart guy.
He's going
guy.
To be in Milwaukee soon, too, isn't he?
Do I get a plug? So
yes.
No, it's been very interesting because he, you know, he won the Pulitzer Prize for his Andrew Jackson book. He was a number one bestseller for the Jefferson book. And then Destiny and Power came out, which is his book about George Herbert Walker Bush. And it did not do quite as well as the other books. And I think in 1 year, people are looking at Bush 41. Did I get that number right?
Yes.
Bush 41 very differently than they did a year ago. And I feel like this book has a lot more resonance now than it did when it came out in hardcover.
That's really interesting.
You know,
it's a good book. I thought it was very
good. It is. I read it.
Did you read it too? I thought it was quite good.
I just really feel like, you know, when you read the things, people would say, who wants to read about George Herbert Walker Bush? So, we have him 2 days before the election, Sunday night, because we're the kind of people, there's certain people will say, whatever, 2 a.m, yes, we'll take it. We'll make it work. And so it's a Sunday evening ticketed event. We're actually, there's a local author, Glenn Jeanson, who actually has a biography of Herbert Hoover out. So it's like our presidential week, because we're having him on November 1st.
I like those weeks. That's my kind of week, Daniel.
It's Kathleen Dunn week.
Yeah.
We were talking about how John Meacham is in Nashville. So I know it's going to be just a wonderful event. So
he is the best public speaker I know. And
he
because we both
speaker.
Live in Nashville, we do events together all the time. And he is just amazing to watch on stage. It'll be a huge treat to get to come and see him.
Yeah, I really like him too. He's so he's so gracious. He's so calm. And
he is.
And he draws you in. People are yelling these days, and he's just got a way of settle back and listen to what he says.
Yeah.
It's going to be worth listening to. And he's going to be with us, too. I hope someone, be Scotty or KP, is listening, because I can't remember when he's with us. But he's with us for, I think, like an All Things Political segment, too.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be talking about the election with us.
Oh, that's cool.
Should be good. So KP and Scotty, let me know when so we can plug ourselves as well. Taylor in Milwaukee would like to chat with both of you. Hi, Taylor.
There's one book that I'm just really excited for coming out, I think in February, which is George Saunders.
I was going to say, February, Lincoln at the Bardo.
Yeah, I am beyond excited to read this.
Oh, it's fantastic. I've read it. Have you read it?
No.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know why it's not coming out until January, because I read that book months ago. It's magnificent. I keep thinking, I loved his last book, 10th of December, the collection of short stories, and the New York Times Magazine did a cover story that said, the best book you'll read all year, George Saunders,
yeah,
the 10th of December. And I'm thinking,
blew me away.
It's such a shame that they did that, because really the best book you'll read all year for 2017 is going to be Lincoln at the Bardo.
Well, I'm glad to hear it is living up to my standards.
Well,
and it's a novel.
What is it?
It's his first novel, and it is takes place over one night, the night of Willie Lincoln's death, when he's put into the crypt, and Lincoln comes and sits with the body, and it's a chorus of all of the dead people in the cemetery remembering their lives and their deaths, and they're trapped. They haven't been able to go on to whatever their destiny is, and because they keep wanting to come back into life, they've not been able to let go. And Willie Lincoln is sort of right on the edge. Will he get trapped, or will he then go? Because his father keeps coming back to see him. It's moving. It's beautiful. It's not like anything else you've read or are going to read. And I'm pleased to say George Saunders is the nicest guy in the world.
Is he?
So it's really exciting to just root for him.
His university email, and he responded back, and it was just really pleasant and humble.
Oh. Yeah, be sure to get on his tour schedule. He's coming to Nashville.
I know that. That tour is booked.
All right. Maybe she can put in a lot of good words for you.
Second tier.
Thanks, Taylor.
Yeah,
I'm glad you called.
Yeah, me too.
Our number is 800-486-8655. John Meacham is going to be with us November 3rd, a Thursday at 1 o'clock. He's with you when?
Sunday, November 6th, 7 p.m.
Oh, November 6th. Okay,
yeah.
So that's good. And he's going to talk about what the next president needs to know.
Yeah.
What does the next president need to know? Hey, let me just ask both of you, for people who want to sort of be involved in the presidential election this go around, but they're a little disturbed by the way the rhetoric is being flown around and why we're not looking at some issues that are really substantial. Is there something that's slightly kind of related to elections or a wonderful time in American history that we should read about that, but will allow us to leave this election cycle and yet inform this election cycle as well?
Well, let me tell you what I'm doing on election night.
Okay.
I have Hamilton tickets in Chicago.
Oh, you do.
So,
Hamilton's going to be on PBS.
Oh,
did you see? I thought I saw it's October 21st. Am I right about this?
I thought I saw
something yesterday.
That's fantastic.
I know.
But, you know, you can get that giant Hamilton book, which is just about the phenomenon that is the show and has all of the lyrics and all of the photographs. It's a lovely book.
Okay.
And nothing makes a gal feel good about the democratic process quite like listening to the Hamilton soundtrack and looking through the Hamilton book and rereading the Ron Chernow Hamilton, if you haven't already. It's not like things were a whole lot better back then, but at least we have some distance.
Mm-hmm. There's something else that just sort of overtook Broadway and everything.
Well,
Hamilton.
It's genius. I mean, I haven't seen the play, but I listen to that soundtrack like I am an 8-year-old girl.
I have friends who do that,
too. I cannot stop listening to the soundtrack.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And do you listen to rap usually or not?
No, I don't. But I'm just obsessed. When I was growing up, they had something called Schoolhouse Rock on television. Conjunction, Junction, What's Your Function? The idea of matching history with a catchy tune appeals to me so profoundly.
Yeah, I like that idea as well. It's a good way to learn history.
Yeah.
All right, our number is 800-486-8655. We'll take more phone calls. We're having a rip-roaring wonderful time with Ann Patchett and Daniel Golden, and they're giving us book recommendations. We're not going to make it through all of their lists, but we're going to let you know what the list is because it will be on our Facebook page. But we'll go quickly through many of the others as we carry on here and welcome more of your phone calls. Maybe we will. No, we will, I promise.
We'll talk about this.
Oh, yeah, The Dream Life of Astronauts. We're going to get to it in a moment. Patrick Ryan. So if you want to join us, our number is 800-486-8655. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 800-486-8655 if you want to call us. If not, it's okay because we have a lot to talk about. But Daniel, you also had something for election time, the residents?
Yes, the Kate Anderson Brower. But that's actually a recommendation from one of my booksellers, Jane. We do a lot of book club talks together, so I've heard the spiel a lot. And but she really loves the book, and it's about the people who work in the White House. And so what's really great about it is, you know, everybody's in election spirit, but it doesn't really matter who you are voting for. Anybody really can enjoy the book. So.
Good. All right, you were holding up, and so we will talk about The Dream Life of Astronauts. Haven't read it. Patrick Ryan, short stories.
Short stories, and I just like to give a plug to collections of short stories whenever I can, because so many people just don't read them, which doesn't make any sense to me, because nobody has enough time for a novel. Just read some good short stories. This was my favorite collection of short stories that came out this year. The book is not about the space program, and yet all of the stories tangentially touch on the space program and Florida in the 60s and 70s. They are about ordinary people, very compassionate and humane writing. It's just a wonderful, quietly brilliant book. And again, short story collections, they go under the radar, so let's pull this one up.
I concur. I was hand-sold this by Ann herself.
Who, by the way, has a blurb on the cover.
Oh, look, Ann Patchett. But I had actually read his, I think that was a novel years ago, and this actually led me to read one of his young adult novels, which he read in between. I love the idea that I'd be writing, because there are a lot of adolescents in this book, and I was fascinated to see how a writer would view adolescents from the lens of an adult and how he'd write about them through the lens of a child. I should say they are ordinary people put in rather crazed circumstances sometimes.
Right.
I also, one of the things I really love about this book, which makes it a little gateway drug for short story reading, is that there are overlapping characters and situations. So you can read each book. Each story is completely discrete, but it also
builds,
connects together. Really a wonderful book. And I also like short stories too. I'm a big fan. So.
Yeah, I don't read many short stories. I don't know why, but I don't.
But you don't read any novels either.
Only on vacation. I know. We're
you know
back
what?
And forth on
it
nonfiction
takes,
because I'm nonfiction.
It takes a village.
That's right.
Isn't that true?
We're here because we care about you.
Yeah, I know.
And then the whole staff walks in for your intervention.
Well, I wish I could. I've read descriptions of all of these novels because I seriously haven't read any of them. I think, oh, this sounds so wonderful. This sounds wonderful. And I just have to pass these along to my friends.
Well, one of the reasons I wound up reading the Lives of the Mitford Sisters is because I thought, well, I'm going on Kathleen Dunn's show and I have to read more nonfiction. And so this book called to me because I am still very, my education of classic literature is completely incomplete, and so I've never read the Nancy Mitford novels, which Pursuit of Love people talk about.
You've read them, Ann?
I will talk about it as soon as you talk about this book.
And so
the story is unbelievable.
Yeah. And so I wasn't as knowledgeable about the sisters, but I knew they just kept coming up in everything. And, you know, as being a buyer for many years, I bought books from the various sisters, and I try to remember them like the Six Wives of Henry VIII. So I go writer, countrywoman, fascist, Nazi, communist, duchess.
Hooray!
Very good, Daniel. Very good.
So what I liked about this book, because I know there have been other books in the past, which is that it's very much about the relationship between the sisters. It's definitely a group biography. And unlike some books, I don't think it does have favorites. It really just looks at – how their very, very, very personal relationships led to their very public personas. So,
and I would like to say that Love in a Cold Climate and In Pursuit of Love, which you used to be able to buy in one volume, I think they've split them up now, which is a shame, are the two most satisfying pieces of fiction ever written.
Oh my God.
And the heartbreaking thing about reading those two novels is nothing will ever be that good again.
Oh,
it's really like very twisted, edgy Jane Austen. It's funny, it's heartbreaking, it's weird. There's just no one that I wouldn't give those two books to. I cannot tell you how much I love those books.
Oh my gosh.
How about that?
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Superlative.
Woo.
On to the next.
All right. I haven't read those.
What is the book about the funeral industry?
That
one of them wrote.
It was
American Way of Death.
American Way of Death.
Which is a fantastic nonfiction book, and also Huns and Rebels. Which
that was her memoir.
The Communist wrote, and that's really wonderful.
I think The Communist wrote actually The American Way
of Death. The American Way of Death, too. I do get them confused, except I know that Nancy wrote those two.
She renounced and became just she was a journalist through the 60s. And so, yes, the American Way of Death was like one of the best-selling books of the decade.
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, it just completely upended the funeral industry. And when I was a buyer, a naive young buyer, I remember my Penguin rep, Tom, who lives in L.A., selling me The American Way of Birth, which was one of her last books before she died. And he's like, don't you know the American... Of course, I didn't know it.
Oh,
but,
wow.
You know, it's just so... It's so... Like, why do I remember... That was 20-something years ago. Why do I remember this? And I can't remember the name of the person I talked to an hour ago.
This is on your list, too. And Susan Faludi's In the Dark Room... a masterpiece. You said this is a masterpiece. Mm. What a story this one is. What a story
Such
she has.
Such an incredible story. As we know, Susan Faludi won the Pulitzer, wrote Backlash. After Gloria Steinem, probably our most preeminent feminist, had a violent, bullying father. Her parents got divorced when she was in high school. Her father moved back to his native Hungary. They fell out of touch. 25 years go by. Her father, 75, sends her an email. Hey, thought I'd check in, wanted you to know my name is Stephanie now. Maybe you'd like to write a book about me. And that's not even what the book is about. It's about the Nazi invasion of Hungary and her father's whole relationship to his own Judaism, passing as an Aryan during the Second World War, and how that all led to his transgendering at 75. It is such an astonishing book. It is a book that I just read with my jaw on the table. Mm. And it's a long book. It's probably over 400 pages. And yet, if it had been 800 pages, it would not have been enough.
Mm. What a story.
Yeah,
there are some books you read and you go, oh,
I know.
Amazing.
And you just think, I think for Susan Faludi, really, no matter what she does in the rest of her life, she is never going to get a story like this again.
Mm-hmm. Another one from you, Daniel.
Well, we both read The Mothers.
Yes.
So I think I would like to recommend it. It's just out. It's the number one Indie Next pick for October. It's first novel. And it is a coming-of-age story about a teenager who winds up getting involved with the minister's son, and that doesn't go well, and winds up in a cover-up, winds up working for the church. I don't know why they made these decisions, but they did, and becomes friends with another girl in the church. And so it's a friendship novel. It's a coming-of-age novel. It is very evocative of San Diego. I've really never read too many books set in that city. And it just really brings it to life. She's a really spectacular writer. She came out of the University of Michigan program. Mm. I think she got a Hopwood Prize. Is that the main prize in Michigan? She was actually a classmate of a few other writers. It's quite the class. They've all kind of gone on to amazing things. We have not hosted her, but I met her at one of the, you know, they bring us in with authors at various conventions to kind of schmooze us up.
Yeah. So. Okay, well, we don't have all of the books, but we'll put them on our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. I can't tell you what a pleasure this whole hour has been. Thank you both so much. Ann Padgett, thanks for coming into the studio
for all
your recommendations.
Time
Darn
flies.
Nice of you. It does. Mm-hmm. Daniel, always a pleasure to see you. You brighten our lives.
It's an honor to be here.
Oh, it's an honor to have you, Daniel. I'm not kidding, really. Thanks so much. The event tonight, I tell you more about it, but it's sold out.
So what's the point?
Yeah, what's the point? I'm sure it's going to be good.
You can come by later and get a signed book. There'll be plenty of extra signed books at the store.
Boswell tonight on Downer in Milwaukee. Terrific independent bookstore. And thanks, everybody, for being with us. Thanks to K.P. Whaley and Scotty Myers for producing this hour. To Zeb Gozman for on-air production here in Milwaukee. We'll watch the debate tonight. And we'll talk about it again, another debate, another hour on it tomorrow at 1 o'clock.